Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
The corn, the beans, and the wheat all rally. It's October, and farmers are reaping a record-sized 10.9 billion bushel corn crop. High prices and good yields, they're an odd couple. How long will the dance continue? We'll try to find out today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Our guest today is Steve Erdman, and our panelists are Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities and Dale Durkles of AgriVisor Services. Gentlemen, let's open the discussion with this question, and we're going to bring Steve Erdman of the EFG Chicago Group into the program early and let him stay with us for the whole half hour today, since it was a really interesting week in Chicago. The first discussion, just an open-ended question, and we'll start with you, Dale Durkles. What was the most important event of the week in Chicago or otherwise in your mind?
Oh, I think the most important event of the week, by hands down, was the USDA report, but I take a different spin on it. I think it was just the shocking reality of where we are in the world and what we don't have in the world and the lack of space out there that just made people step back and go, you know, we better be careful here.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
I'd have to agree. The government report being lower on the bean yields when we continue to hear tremendous yields out there. And we weren't that shocked that the corn yield was down. We were shocked after the talk that the acreage would increase slightly, that they decreased the acreage and took us under a billion bushel carryout and off to the races in the middle of a big harvest weekend.
And Steve Erdman.
I think we started off with the wheat market, the strength in the wheat, and that was precipitated by short covering from a lot of big money at the exchanges, and then the report just poured fuel on the fire. So it's a combination of things.
Let me go through the numbers from the report very quickly. USDA's crop production report looked like this. Corn yield at 10.905 billion bushels on 153.5 to the acre. Soybeans at 3.189 billion for total on a yield of 42.8 bushels to the acre. Carryover for the 2006-2007 year, corn 966 million. That's down from the 1.22 in September. Soybeans at 555 million. And that compares to the September at 530 million. A couple of other numbers to keep in the back of your mind. Australian wheat, by USDA's account, lowered to 11 million metric tons in September. That was at 19.5, and last year at 24.5. Canadian wheat raised just a bit at 26.3. That's up from 25.9. And the Chinese wheat at 103.5, down from 105. The South African corn crop, 9.5 million, up a half a metric ton, a million metric ton, that is. And the Chinese corn crop at 141 million metric tons, up from the September estimate of 138 million metric tons. So I went back and I took a look at a few things and decided to, I wanted to see when we have rallied in the fall. And I checked it back several years, October 1974, we went to $4. Fall of 1980, fall of 1983, those are all drought years. Fall of 1994, we started a rally that didn't finish until we got to the spring of 96 when we went above $5 a bushel. I also went back and checked something just to see what happened in 74, because we compare these years now to what Paul Cooley likes to refer to as the go-go years of the 1970s. Time magazine on August the 12th of 1974. Headline, Back to the Dust Bowl. Corn prices on the Chicago Board of Trade last week stood at $3.65 a bushel, up more than a dollar from June. Some traders think that will soon go to $5 or higher. Remind you, that's in 1974. At the same time, soybean prices rose from $5.25 a bushel in June to $8.50, and wheat from $3.45 to $4.35. Is there any reason today, in a non-drought year with a 10.9 billion bushel crop, that corn will reach those lofty heights predicted back in the fall of 1974. And we'll start with you, Dale.
I think it's basically the demand base and an expected demand base that we got coming along in the future here at this point that really is the fuel and will be the fuel to keep this market firm. You know, the ethanol demand that we've brought online, what we're bringing online, and some of the things I'm picking up in terms of ethanol itself is that the USDA is probably still underestimating potential corn demand for there this year. We've raised that nominal value of corn, and I think that's the one big thing the market's making an adjustment for. You go back into classic economic theory, and commodity prices are determined by demand at the margin, and in our markets, that really is the export demand that can be rather volatile. So with the ethanol demand coupled up with the feed demand, to me, we've raised that nominal level at this point. I think the market had to play a catch-up game. I think it's demand, purely demand.
You agree with him?
Do I agree with them? Mm-hmm. Yes and no. I'm going to put this in a different way. We are going to probably work higher from here. How high will we work before something happens and comes in? I can remember a lot of times that we have moved on to that next level, and that next level never seemed to stick with us or stay around because something happened. We are buying more corn acres now. We are looking ahead to some very good demand. And because of all the ethanol plants, we probably have changed what it needs in the pipeline to keep things going. We had a terrible drought and heat through the time period of pollination this year in Iowa. Our yields are being reduced because of that. You know, without weather problems and with these new hybrids and with the triple stack genes, more acres, whatever, we can get caught up on what we need in corn.
You know, the one thing that a lot of people don't focus on that I've been watching, if you take a look at the world numbers, you know, that really kind of reinforces this whole demand scenario. The last couple of years, we've had what I call good average crops. And you know, you go back and you look at the growth. Production has been ramping up when you go into the world over the last 5 to 10 years and even longer. But demand base has been going up at a much faster pace, and we are just not keeping up with that demand scenario at this point. And when you look out into the future with where we're at now, you can build that same story. And that's what the market's really starting to look at the moment.
Steve, would you agree with that? Demand base is...
I think demand base is tremendous. I just think it's going to be a longer-term effect on our markets than in the shorter term. I think the ethanol demand is going to come into play maybe over the next 2 or 3 years, more so than in the short term. I think in the short term, the market's got, you know, the chance to test some of the highs we made back in 2004, but I don't think we're in the explosive situation that we had, for example, back in 95, 96, not at this point.
Not that explosive. How high are you looking then? Are we looking at 320, 325, the $4 area? Where do you think corn might go?
No, for the time being, I think, you know, given the price level of wheat and where it's at and the fact that the corn market's caught up as quickly as it has, I think we may be very close, today's close, you know, up another 10 or 15 cents from seeing the market rest. I mean, there was a lot of pressure on the spreads in the corn market. There was a tremendous amount of carry that we've had in the markets through July and August, and then spreads bottomed and have rallied nicely. The basis levels have rallied nicely. I think that's taken a tremendous amount of pressure off the market, the spread action and the basis action, you know, especially as we're coming into harvest. So I think I'd be real cautious in here. I mean, I've been very friendly to the market, and now I think the market's, you know, getting to a point where it could breathe. If I had corn to sell and I had combines rolling this afternoon, I'd be letting corn go this afternoon, depending on the basis level, of course.
December corn in Chicago, by the way, this week went to 317 on the high. That's a contract high. Low at 270. Dees corn settled at 314.5. It was up 43.5 cents. 43.5 cents from last week. December 07, corn at 324.5, up 19 cents. Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities with us today as well. Would you be selling cash grain off of the combine, Pete?
Well, you get 280, 290, which is what people are getting around, unless you're in some of those areas where the basis is really tight. I would be trying to sell some of it, yes, and I would be, you know, stuff that I've got stored at home, I'd maybe continue, but the stuff that I don't have sold off the combine, the extra, I'd be selling.
Wayne?
I'm going to agree to Pete to a degree here. If it's cash flow needs are by January, by end of January, we're selling off the combine. If not, and we have bin space at home, I'm probably going to bin it. But I would definitely not store in commercial storage with the kind of prices we're getting here now. I'd be looking at replacing with some sort of option strategy just because of the volatility. We looked Friday there. There's a lot of ideas to look at, like $3 puts or something to put under this market. If you are putting in the bin, if we are getting the area like Steve's talking about where we're going to do a little resting, why not just put a put underneath this market? And if it wants to go like Dale says, let's take advantage of it.
Dale, you're outnumbered, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I don't care. I won't disagree with Steve that, you know, we're probably at a point here where the market's really in need to take a pause. You know, you go back to the high we had in 04, that was 335, I think, and a half. And that's not far above where the market is. Now, we are getting a little bit overextended. Price cycles right now, if we're going to be following a 10-week cycle pattern, which I think that's what we're shifting back into, is 210s making up a 20. That's due to bottom out about the end of October. So I think we could probably come to a temporary pause here at this point. But, you know, the market itself hasn't really resolved the big issue, and that really still is the demand base. I found it interesting this week that when you look at overnight export news, two things really jumped out at me. Egypt came back in. They bought wheat last night. They're a smart buyer of wheat. They bought 300,000 ton of wheat, about 60 of it out of the U.S. The other thing I noticed when you look at the Asian people, they just don't seem to let up here at all. So I think we can take a temporary pause. I don't know that we're going to back it down that much, maybe 275 on Dees corn. But I think we're really positioning this market once we get through harvest that it's going to bolt higher again and go through that 04 high.
I want to stay with the grains, but I want to go through some of the other numbers. December wheat, 550 on the high, the low at 466 and a quarter. The desettling, 61 and a half cents higher at 525 and a half. And July futures at 462 and a half for the new crop. The harvest month, they were off 6 cents. From last week. Soybeans, the November's 594 and a half on the high, the low at 558 and three quarters. They were up 27 and a half at 591 and a half for the Noves. The Novo 7 at 649 and a quarter, 28 and three quarters higher. And December oats at 236 and a half. They were 20 and a quarter higher for the week. I think I saw a note in those. Were they above 250 sometime this week on these oats? That looked like a wild ride in that particular marketplace, too. All right. Does anybody agree with Dale that this market has a lot of potential to go a lot higher at this point? And Steve, if you do, just jump in. But it looks like Pete says...
Yeah, I think we're I would agree with Steve that we're kind of at a pause here, but I think by mid-November to mid-December, when harvest is basically done and the doors are shut, I think we have a potential to be back in that roaring like we were in 95 to go up a lot. My big problem is for next year is what are beans going to do if we plant more acres of corn and more acres of wheat? What are beans going to do? And that's the one that I'm really worried about going crazy if we have a lot less acres of beans.
Steve? I agree with what Pete just said. I think the big play after what we've just done, the big play in the future is going to be being long beans, short wheat, being long corn, short wheat. That's where, to me, you're going to be able to see some tremendous opportunity. We've got to keep in mind this wheat rally started in the middle of September at 388. Where do we close these wheat today? 525. We are the market for soft wheat now, and we have been for the last 8 years, nothing in the world market. We've been the last resort, and now all of a sudden everybody's coming to us for soft wheat, and I think that's what we're experiencing right now. So I think we need to be looking to take advantage of that at some point. And my temperance on the corn prices, because I don't believe we have a situation like we had back in 95, 96, where, you know, we were basically running out of corn in the country, and the cash market led. And at that juncture, we've got a much different cash situation right now in corn. There are ample supplies to satisfy the demand out there. I don't disagree with Dale. We've got a very, very dynamic demand, and it continues to grow every year. But I just don't see it being the same situation that we've had in the past.
Okay, what I just heard is that you would be long corn or beans against short wheat, and that's
at some point.
At some point, and that's because of all the new acres that we're going to put out there in wheat.
You bet.
Is that right?
Exactly. All over the world. You're going to see wheat coming everywhere. I think that's going to be a huge play.
Well, adding into that mix and talking about the bean wheat, corn wheat scenario, when you look back at the historical spread differential between those particular commodities, it does favor being short wheat against either one of the other two, because we had pushed the corn wheat spread out in here almost to the highest level we had over the course of the last 25, 30 years.
Yeah.
The bean wheat spread's pretty much the same story again. You've really got those out. I won't disagree that wheat's probably the one that's the most tenuous here at this point. And it's going to be probably a key one to keep an eye on. I'd noticed here, just stepping back and looking at it as a relationship back to the gold market. And when you look at a relationship between wheat prices and gold prices, we're back to what I'd say would be somewhat of a par or an average value that we've had since the early 70s. So, you know, wheat is really going to be a key short-term item. But, you know, at best, if it breaks, it's just going to cap the other two, I think.
A lot of folks are going to be making decisions in the next month and a half about how many acres of corn and soybeans and wheat they need to put. Well, the wheat's been made, but how many acres of corn and soybeans they're going to put in the ground. Which way are you going to lean, Dale?
What do you mean? What do you mean? How am I
going
to lean?
You're doing 50-50. You add in acres of corn. What do you
mean? Oh, no doubt. You know, people are going to lean into planting more corn. How much is the thing that I think we're all going to be arguing about over the course of the next 30, 60, 90
days?
No, I meant
how much would you do?
Haven't thought about it.
Wayne?
Well, I'd increase corn as much as I could for getting my work done if I'm a farmer out there. I can make about $100 an acre more planting corn now than planting beans. You know, some of the things going on, I'm going to put as much corn out as I can handle on my farm logistically.
How are you going to protect that increase?
They have these things called puts.
I've got a question on next year's. If we plant all these acres of corn and all these acres of wheat, what am I going to do to protect my corn prices for next year? Do I need to be doing anything about, you know, we closed 07 corn up well over $3. Should I be looking at anything there to protect it?
Steve?
I'd say absolutely. I mean, some of the fence strategies that farmers could put on right now, buying out-of-the-money puts and selling out-of-the-money calls, you know, with a dollar spread, give all the producers an opportunity to put a realistic floor in the December 07 crop and still be open to price improvement. And I think if producers aren't doing that now after the corn market's rallied, what have we rallied, guys? About 80, 90 cents in the last 2 weeks?
About 80 cents, yeah.
They're crazy for not doing so, in my estimation. And I do think you're going to see, you know, if you look at Dease 07 corn, it closed today, for example, at 324.5. Beans, no beans of 07 or what, 636 or something? Let me look.
So it's around that level.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. And I think, especially given your input cost, natural gas prices have plummeted. We should be starting to see the effect of the natural gas prices coming down in the form of cheaper nitrogen, cheaper anhydrous. So, yeah, I mean, I think now's the time when a producer really has to look at putting on some kind of option combinations to protect some of this price opportunity.
Right. Now, I would agree. You know, you look out at some of those, but back to Wayne's thing, you know, about, you know, you really plant corn, and I'd agree, yeah, you know, the economics at this point really say in corn versus beans that you step over there and you plant corn. But the real question is, how much of a shift are people going to make? You know, that's the real unknown question at this point. You know, the market itself has been talking we needed to buy 4 or 5, maybe 6 million acres of corn this year, and that's a pretty huge bite because you're getting up there somewhere, 7-8% shift, and that's a fairly significant jump, and you don't, even when you go back into past historical periods, you just don't see those huge swings necessarily between corn and beans year to year unless there's some kind of a real huge economic incentive to do so. And I don't know that we're there at this point yet.
So I have a question across the board because we're rallying into a demand-driven market. I don't know where we're going to go. I don't know that you guys want to take a stab at the high price in particular. But what are the pitfalls and what is, well, maybe I do want to take a stab at the high price. What is the limiting factor for corn in its rally. Is it the legislation out of Washington, D.C. that says this is how many gallons of ethanol that we're going to put into the marketplace and we don't need any more? And hasn't somebody done some work on that by now to tell us what the corn market needs to raise and to make that work?
I don't know. In the environment we're here now and where we're going to be in the next 6 months, the legislation really matters a whole lot. It's purely down to economics of what's going on, not only in the markets on a day-to-day and upfront type basis, but, you know, the perceptions of what we're going to need, no matter the legislation. And we don't have any legislation in the works at this point to at least put any cap on how much we produce for ethanol. So it's a matter of how long the economics stay with us. The one thing I find interesting here that I've noticed, you know, just in the past, and this goes back about 30 years, and we're all sitting here in agreeing, this is probably a demand-driven market. There's two caveats that I've noticed in the past about demand-driven markets. The first one is they tend to be more orderly bull markets. And yeah, we've had a lot of excitement here over the last month right now, but we'll settle down into a more orderly market now that what I perceive we've brought corn back up into a more equitable nominal value. The other thing I've noticed about demand bull markets is that they always tend to go higher than people ever think they will.
I think one of the hardest things about right now at this time is we have an excellent crop, maybe a record in beans, close to a record in corn, and this fall we have not had any effect on pushing prices down. In fact, we've made new contract highs in the corn, and I think that has me at times and lots of farmers confused about what they ought to be doing, and I've to discuss this with lots of farmers about what in the heck is going on. But I guess what we boil it down to is demand is out there holding it up, and right now that demand is there for the future. We've got lots of it available right now, but tight holding has kept that away from the market somewhat.
Steve, what do you hear in Chicago? How unorderly was this week from the floor?
It was very unorderly. Not so much in the corn market, but the wheat market, what has been unorderly, and the wheat spreads. The trade, quote unquote, in Chicago has been short, has had bear spreads on in wheat because we have had such a tremendous supply of wheat stocks for the last 8 years. Anybody and their brother would be bear spread wheat. And it was the easy way to make money. Well, all those people that have been bear spread for 8 years just got their head handed to them in the last 2 weeks. There's blood everywhere. I mean, it's been a tremendous amount of red ink because these guys could place wheat spreads without any margin. And it has been such an easy and safe play for the past several years because of our wheat stocks and because of some of the quality problems we had in those deliverable stocks. So that part of it's been unorderly. I would say what has been orderly, or I think the only place that I might disagree with Dale is this: the markets that we have right now, and I think Dale was alluding to this earlier, we've got a tremendous amount of managed money coming into our markets on a consistent basis. I mean, it's more every week, and I think that's going to increase the volatility of the markets. I think that gives you more abrupt price swings. So I'm not sure it will be the kind of orderly pull, you know, demand pull that we've seen in the past. I don't know. I think this is all something new for all of us that we're just going to have to experience. That's my opinion, at least.
At the broker's end, sitting there talking to Chicago, it seemed like more it was frantic than it was disorderly, and it seems like that this volatility, if it is going to even get bigger at times.
Guys, it really felt like the same type of situation that we had when cattle was limit up every day and commercials couldn't get out of the cattle market. It was the same type of feel in these wheat spreads. As you know, I mean, you saw some of the moves that the wheat spreads made this week. It was 29 cents in a day. It was just incredible. And that was all liquidation. That was all people getting out of spreads that they'd had on forever. So
yeah, I won't disagree with you that we're going to see a lot more volatility, but I think, you know, when I speak of an orderly market, you start to get into a corn market where I think you're going to be able to identify prices where you're going to have turning points. And it seems like whenever you have an orderly bull market, the last one I can think of was the bean market from 03 into 04. I mean, there were some, you know, once we got into that bull that you could really start to pick out your technical points and the market seemed to react well. Volatility is going to be up by nature of it. People being confused, I see the confusion here in the markets today, much like I think a lot of people saw confusion in 1973 and not knowing what was going on, how to handle it, how to deal with it. And unfortunately today, there virtually no one around that went through that. You know, I'm sitting here, I was in grad school and watching things go on somewhat at that point in time. But, you know, in the industry, most of the people have come into the business, water, a lot of them since, the late 80s, something like that. None of them have been through that kind of scenario before. And I think that's where people are ill-equipped to handle it.
Steve, we saw that the locals backed away or did not step forward to cover some of what the funds were doing today like they would in the past after this debacle in the wheat pit. Has that hurt our liquidity in a lot of the markets?
I don't think so. I think our liquidity is getting better, as I was saying. The electronic markets for exchange, the electronic exchange, guys, the volume is already tremendous. It is so liquid. As in comparison to, for example, another ag sector like cattle, it was a completely different situation. There never has been any liquidity to the electronic exchange futures in cattle. The corn market, the volume is mind-boggling. I mean, the liquidity we have in the grains is just tremendous, and it stays that way. I don't think the locals and their exiting from wheat spreads is affecting us in an adverse way at all. I think it's, you know, I think it's good. I think that I don't think it's good that these people lost money. Don't get me wrong. I think it's the liquidity of the markets is very good, very adequate.
We've come to the end of our time, and we'll allow each of you just a bit of time to make a final comment on this week's show, and we'll start with you, Pete Manhart, of Bates Commodities.
Well, at the end of a very confusing week, it looks like the attitude is to buy breaks in pretty much everything and be wary of wheat for when that time is, when all these acres that we're planting around the world will be available.
Dale Durkles of AgriVisor Services.
You know, I would agree with one thing Steve said, when you look at the long-term prospects, soybeans are the crop to own now.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
We saw a lot of beans being harvested on our trip over here to Champaign. We think that, the beans are going to have good yields, and I think the crop's going to get bigger.
And Steve Erdman.
I would encourage farmers to take a look at prices this afternoon and realize 2 weeks ago the corn market was at 235 and now we're at 315, and beg them to please take advantage of this and do some marketing with their current crop that they're harvesting.
Gentlemen, thank you for joining us for this edition of Commodity Week. Dale Durkles, of course, with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois. Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. And our guest today, Steve Erdman of EFG out of Chicago, Illinois. And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access Commodity Week throughout the week on demand on your computer. Our site on the World Wide Web is WILLAG.org. That's WILLAG.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, weekly analysis, cash grain market reports, weather, and feature interviews with agricultural newsmakers. You have a safe harvest week. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.